I will speak about a variant of a transport problem where we keep into account congestion effect, and we see there are some equilibrium issues, some optimization as well. And I'll stress, since we are in a numerical workshop, I stress the numerical possibility to study this problem. So let's see a little bit what I'm gonna talk about. To present the problem, the best way is to start from discrete models. Discrete model for traffic congestion are quite classic. They use finite networks. So it is what we experience every day. The road that we choose is a finite graph, a finite network. And in these models, the question concerns equilibria, that is a traffic configuration which is stable. No one starts changing every day its preferred route. And links with optimization. But what we're interested about is mainly doing a continuous model. So we will see what it means. It will be in a domain admitting any possible path. And we will see which are the differences, and what's the interest of this model. This is a joint work with Guillaume Carli and Chloé Jiménez. All that I'm talking about comes from joint work from Paris Dauphine. I mean, Chloé is no more in Dauphine, but she was there, and also the collaboration concerning numerics is with other colleagues from Dauphine, and especially their numeric experience comes from the group which does image processing in Paris Dauphine. So in the continuous model, we will have to give some precise definition. So what is a traffic intensity? And then we will ask for the same question, equilibrium and optimality. And as usual in a continuous model, it is not obvious as in a finite one that the minimum of the possible problem we are concerned with will be finite, that there is admissible finite energy configuration, and so on. We will see that for numerical reasons, the dual problem of the convex optimization problem that I will present will be much more handleable. And so I will present the dual problem. And we studied with Fethal Abamansour, Guillaume Carli, and Gabriel Perret, especially in numerical issues concerning the dual problem. So we present what's the dual problem, how to discretize it, and we will arrive to a fast Marshall algorithm. It will be a convex problem. To solve the optimization problem, we look for a gradient algorithm. So we will have to present let's say a fast marching corresponding to the algorithm that calculates distances. We will have something for computing gradient of our functional, and then obviously we are concerned with the convergence of this algorithm to be sure that it is well done, and we'll show you some simulation and some other application. So I start from the what's the main idea that you can see in the easiest case is, let us think that we have two cities and two possibilities for going from one to another, either a straight line, very well road, or a more twisted and longer one, maybe in the country field, and the other is an highway. So everybody prefers the highway, it is faster, but if everybody chooses the highway, it becomes congested, and so it is no more better than the other one. So everybody the next day will choose to change his mind, and in this way, we're continuously changing, and we also pass from situations that are worse. If at the second day everybody chooses the longest one, well, it is not an optimal choice, it is not a good choice for anybody. So, question, is there an equilibrium configuration with somebody on the highway, somebody on the longer path, and is this equilibrium optimizing something? So, let us present it in the finite network case. Which are the objects that play some role? So we have a network, so it is a finite graph with some edges, a set of sources of destination which are on the extremal points of the edges of the network. For any couple source to destination, we have the set of all possible paths linking them along the network. And for every couple, we also prescribe how many people want to go from S to D. So this is the demand, it is a datum of the problem. And it will be this mass will be to be split between all possible paths, all possible sigmas. So the unknown is exactly this repartition strategy. I call it Q. It's a vector, one entry for every sigma. What's the weight of this path, of the path sigma? And the constraint is obviously that the total weight of path going from S to D must be the demand that we have as a datum in our problem. Once we know Q, I mean, supposing we have a Q, we can compute the traffic intensity. Traffic intensity is something that it is a vector one entry for every edge. At every edge, we compute how many people pass through this edge. So we just have to compute the total of the weights of all the paths passing through it. This is the total number. So I precise this model thinks about a continuous fluid movement from sources to the destination. So I mean, we are not concerned with time. I'm not saying passing through the same edge at the same time. I'm supposing that a mass gamma of SD is continuously going from S to D, because there is a continuous quantity of persons that have to go at each moment of the day from S to D, let's say. So it is a commuting model which does not take into account precise movement of every precise person. So once we know the traffic intensity on the edge, we will have some congestion effects. So we suppose that we have an increasing function g, which gives the cost per unit length to move along a path where the traffic intensity is high. So the idea is, if there is more traffic intensity, the cost, so the time, it will be longer. And for each path sigma, the cost for this path will be the total cost. So this is the cost per unit length. I multiply time and length of each edge, and then I make the sum of all the edges composing the path. So what's the equilibrium we're looking for? This is called the Waldrop equilibrium. It is just a translation into this language of a more general Nash equilibrium. The idea is nobody wants to change his mind. So it means that if somebody actually chooses a certain path sigma, so if the weight of this path is positive, then its cost has to be minimal. If it was not minimal, I could decide to change my mind. So among all possible paths, the cost of the actually used path must be minimal. Also, Waldrop presented this idea in the 50s, and it presented it through two principles that may be summarized here. The principle were: all the actually used path must have the same cost, because otherwise there would be some path which is preferable with respect to the others, and all the unused path must be worse. So we can resume it this way. So this is known as Waldrop equilibria. It is not obvious at all that it exists in Waldrop equilibria. It will be obvious from the fact that, in fact, we can see that having an equilibrium corresponds to satisfying some optimality condition of a variational problem which has a solution. So what's the variational principle which is behind this? Well, we could think of some generic global optimization problem on congestion between all possible strategies. Possible strategies means the queue that satisfy the constraint I presented before. Let us minimize the quantity, which is something which is increasing in traffic intensity. So we are interested in minimizing a certain not well precise quantity concerning the traffic intensity. And it happens that if I take the function g that I had before, and I take h of t being t times g of t, this quantity is the total time for all the commuters. Why? Because for every edge e, I have the time per unit length, I'm multiplying it by the length, and I'm multiplying it by the traffic intensity. By traffic intensity is how many people pass through there. So if I multiply to how many people, I get the total cost. So anyway, let's keep a generic h. And we can check that this problem has a solution, provided h is continuous or semi-continuous. Let us suppose it is differentiable. If it is differentiable, then a strategy is optimal if, and actually it is if and only if, it is a Waldrop equilibrium for a congestion function g equals to h prime, to the derivative of h. It is quite natural that if I optimize this with h in the optimality condition, there will be the derivative. So, if I want to find the Waldrop equilibrium, it's sufficient that I take my g, I take its primitive, and I optimize this function, which is a convex function, because h is the primitive of an increasing function. So, finding a Waldrop equilibrium is equivalent to finding a solution of a convex problem. Just a remark, in general, it is not the same looking for the equilibrium with respect to g, or looking for the best optimal global configuration for the total traveling time with respect to g. That is, the primitive is not the same as multiplying by t. Unless we have some power function, in this case it is the same up to a multiplicative constant, which does not affect the minimization. But in general, the equilibrium is not optimal in this sense.
So in that case, you have not convex the problem. you have more critical point.
If you start from a certain g which is increasing and you don't take the primitive, but you take this one, sometimes you may fall on a problem which is not convex. But sometimes you may fall on a convex problem which is not you only design, which is not the convex problem whose solution gives your equilibrium. So this is the setting in the discrete case. What can we do for passing to a continuous model? We want to replace all our objects. So we will replace our, the demand function, the quantity gamma s of d, it was a mass for every couple s of d. It will become a measure on the set of pairs. If we want to be continuous, if we don't want to have only a finite number of possible pairs, so we will have a domain, and on the product we will put a measure. We will do something more more general. Let us consider a set of possible gammas, a set of possible transport plans. Just for the sake of generality, there are two interesting cases. Either we prescribe it, we prescribe the gamma bar, or we consider all the transport plan from a measure to another. In this case, the sources and destination have been replaced by some measure, mu and nu. And the two cases are interesting, but the most interesting in application is this one. Let us suppose we know the demand. We know what commuters do. But for a long time planning, maybe we can think that what commuters do may change from year to year, even if it will be known for this year. So maybe we can look at the problem in where we let gamma vary, where mu and nu, they stay fixed because mu and nu may represent, for instance, the area where people live and the area where people work. This is more constant and not exactly the corresponding where I go working. In 10 years, it will be different. So this is the corresponding of gamma and of the source and destination. We have to do something corresponding to the path. So our idea is we let every path be admissible. So, but we just impose that they are Lipschitz, but actually it will be up to reparameterization. Lipschitz simply means finite length, and it is normal that we want a path of finite length. So let us consider the set of all paths parameterized over 0, 1 of, with Lipschitz paths, and C of SD will become the Lipschitz path connecting S to D. We were looking for weights on the set of paths, but it will become a probability measure on the set of paths. The compatibility constraint is that when I evaluate the starting and the arrival point, I have to reconstruct a gamma. So it will be seen as an image measure. Or equivalent, it means that Q must be of the form a conditional probability on the set of paths linking S to D, tensor product with a certain gamma. It's the same. So we will impose that this gamma belongs to capital gamma, so either it is prescribed, either it is a transport plan. What is a little bit more delicate is defining the traffic intensity. Traffic intensity, it was defined on edges before. Now it will be over all the set omega. We will define it as a positive measure. And the idea is the traffic intensity associated to Q of a certain, calculated on a certain set, it will be how much the movement takes place in this set. So it's a measure, we have to define it for being rigorous against continuous function, for instance. So for any continuous function, we give this definition. For every curve, we compute the weighted length of the curve. It is using this factor as a weighting factor, it is a sort of a metric. And then we define the effect of the traffic intensity against a certain continuous function as this integral. It means for every curve, I compute the weighted length, and then I weight with respect to curves. We can think it means that any vehicle which moves leaves a certain pile of sand along its movement with a certain fixed ratio mass per kilometer, and then we look at the total, because this one it is something which is concentrated on sigma, and then I weight over sigma. If I wanted to see EQ of A, I just take phi equals the indicator function of A, and then this is how much sigma, what's the proportion of length of sigma which stays in the set A, and then I integrate. So this is the traffic intensity. And then, okay, in the continuous case, it is not that easy to start from the equilibrium problem. I will start from the optimization problem, and I will recover the equilibrium as an optimality condition. So the optimization problem we look for is this one. We have a measure. Let us suppose it is absolutely continuous. We compute this function. It is the integral of the convex function of its density. If it is not absolutely continuous, it's plus infinity. I'm thinking about a superlinear convex function. My typical case is a power with p greater than 1. So in this case, this is a nice function. It is the LP norm, let's say. It's nice in the sense that it's semi-continuous. It admits good properties for having existence. And it corresponds to the discrete case up to the fact that EQ is not considered on a network. And so we are integrating on a measure which sees the whole space omega and not only a one-dimensional subset. So which are the optimality conditions? The minimizer exists. Let's take one. We will be concerned with this quantity, h prime of the intensity. Well, let us call it xi bar. Xi bar will be positive because h is increasing with this convex, but it is also increasing. And for any positive xi, we just define this one, 6xi of a couple of points, the infimum of the weighted length. This is the distance with respect to the metric xi. When I have a certain function xi defined everywhere, I can use it to weight the length of the curves, and this, the infimum of the length, is the geodesic distance with respect to this metric. It's a conformal Riemannian distance. Conformal means that I'm only using scalar factors to measure the length. It is not a matrix xi. It is a scalar. So in the Riemannian language, it is xi times the identity matrix. So if I define this one, it happens that, okay, I have a minimizer. It induces a certain gamma bar. First fact, this gamma bar minimizing this quantity, the integral of 6 xi bar, among all admissible gammas. This exactly corresponds to a transport problem. Okay, it depends on what is the set capital gamma. If capital gamma is a singleton, well, it is not interesting to minimize something in a set where you are the only admissible gamma. But if it is not, if it is, for instance, the set of all transport plans, it exactly means that gamma bar solves the Monge-Kantorowicz problem with respect to this distance, which depends on xi bar. Other condition, almost all the curves must be optimal in this sense. Their length must be the optimal length. So it is an equilibrium condition in this sense. I have a strategy. This strategy induces a metric xi bar. With respect to this metric, the transport plan that comes from the strategy is optimal with respect to something which depends on this strategy. And the curves that I actually used don't waste anything. They are all optimal in the sense that their length is the minimal possible one, but length measured with respect to this metric. So this we have a coupling of a transport problem, and this condition is exactly a Wardrop equilibrium. It means that all the used curves are optimal in this sense. So no one wants to change his mind. So, okay, as I said, in the continuous case, it is not evident that this problem has a minimizer in the sense that something with finite energy. And if it has not, all that I said has no meaning. So just some ideas for a given condition to ensure the existence of finite energy. This is the first one is interesting in the case where all the transport plans are admitted. In fact, I can choose one precise one. For instance, let us choose the strategy which corresponds to the transport plan, which is optimal for the Monge case, and the lines that I use, the curves that I use are only the straight lines. So it is a very particular case. I'm choosing the transport plan, and I'm choosing to restrict myself to straight lines. I'm using this because it has been much studied. For instance, the traffic intensity that comes from this strategy, it is known in the transport community as the transport density. And it has been studied, for instance, by Gigi De Pascale and Aldo Pratelli. They have LP estimates, something like if mu and nu are LP, the result is LP. And if the function H is a P power, so I have condition for having finiteness. Otherwise, this is not useful in the case where gamma is prescribed. Some other ideas, this one comes from some suggestion by Jan Brenier. In a specific case, let us suppose mu equal nu, but we fix a certain transport plan, which may not be the identity. And let us suppose that they are uniform as well. That is Lebesgue on omega. Then incompressible fluid mechanics tells us that there exists a measure concentrated on Lipschitz curves, which stays incompressible. That is, at any time, you have the same measure mu. So in this case, actually, if you can estimate this one, and if you can estimate the Lipschitz constant, you can go back to the definition and replace every sigma dot by L. And in the end, you have a bound. The traffic intensity is bounded by L times this measure. So you have an infinity bound. And then up to composing with diffeomorphism, you can replace mu and nu with other measures which are not necessarily the Lebesgue one. And if you compose with diffeomorphism depending on time as well, you can also change and not necessarily start from a measure and arrive at the same one. And it comes back to some LP assumption in order to get LP. Last case, it does not fall into this case. Let us suppose that we have discrete measures. We used it because actually in numerical computation we use discrete measures. So in this case you can build by hand some strategy, and obviously near the atoms the traffic intensity must explode. But it explodes like 1 over x, and so you can control it is LP for certain p depending on the dimension. So these are some conditions. Just some last remark concerning the continuous model. Why do we study continuous model? It is not that good for car motion, because it is true that in car motion we have networks. It could be interesting for pedestrian motion, for instance. There are a lot of studies about crowd motions. For instance, recently I saw in a workshop something by Bertrand Maury or Colombo or other people in the traffic community. Or you can think it as a large scale limit of network models, but you have to look it from a scale such that you don't actually see the road, but you only see which are the zones which are most congested. I think it's good for the LA area because it's actually huge. And so if you actually look at the whole area, you don't see exactly the roads. Anyway, everything that I said in this continuous model is in this paper, which is published on the CN Journal of Control Optimization with Guillaume and Chloé. And now I'd like to stress the duality effects that will be useful for the numerical computation. So this is the problem, the primal problem we had, minimizing H of EQ. What's the dual problem? I mean Lebesgue over omega.
So you have some assumption on omega.
That the measure is one. What's the problem? No. I mean they should be. I mean mu and nu is the uniform density probability. But okay, maybe you need some assumption on the boundary. Okay, let us think that omega is for the qubit is true, okay. And up to diffeomorphism it will be true for some nice domain as well, and it will change the Lipschitz constant. Anyway, it's just an idea for having some. I think we only wrote, thanks to some suggestion by Jan, it works, and we never wrote the proof. And we wrote this in a paper that we didn't finish to write, so it is not on this one. Okay, so this is the primal problem. What's the dual problem? I don't want to convince you that it is exactly that one, but it is reasonable. In the dual problem, we'll have H star, the Legendre-Flechel transform, plus a penalization term. So it will be this problem here. What I do is for every xi, the dual variable will be xi. I compute the distance xi. I integrate with respect to gamma, but I minimize over all possible gammas if gamma is not a singleton. And this is a function of xi with a penalization on the values of xi. This, we can think it is a power as well. If h is the p power, this is the p star power. Well, two cases are interesting. If gamma is the whole set of transport plan, this is a Wasserstein distance, well, with respect to the distance 6i. 6i. If gamma is a singleton, well, this is a value, it is not a minimum, so it is better. And look, you can notice that this one is one homogeneous in xi. This is, let's say, p star homogeneous, so it is normal to have a maximum, that is a minimum of this one minus this penalization. And the duality result is that this problem are one the dual of the other. The minimum value here is the maximum value here, that you can recover one the solution from the other by some optimality condition. So why the dual problem is interesting? Also in the network case it was interesting because it's easier to solve from a numerical point of view. It has the number of variables is smaller because xi is something which is defined on any edge. So the dimension is the number of edges. While Q, it was a measure on the set of possible paths. It was a weight for any path. And the number of paths is much larger than the number of edges. And then the constraints are easier. For instance, C larger or equal than 0 is easier than any constraint for any couple. And then once you solve the dual problem, you can come back to the traffic intensity if you invert this relation and you need H to be strictly convex. You can find the traffic intensity. You cannot actually find the true Q. You can only find the distribution of traffic and not exactly who goes where. Okay, in this dual problem, we have the quantity 6i, that is the distance. So we will have somehow to measure these distances, or distances to a fixed point with respect to a certain metric means solution of the equation modulus of the gradient equals psi. It is the Aikonen equation. Okay, what I'm gonna say now is contained in this paper, which is almost done, with Guillaume Gabriel and Fetala. Fetala, Guillaume Gabriel. And, okay, how to compute the distances, the xi? Okay, we want to discretize, then I will precise the discretization, but if xi, so it is defined on a grid, on a square grid of size h, and we want to look for the distances to a certain fixed point x0, but on x0 it will be 0, and on the other points it will have to respect, this is the discretization of the condition, the gradient, the modulus of the gradient must be xi. Okay, here we have to replace, these are the operator which represent the modulus of the slope, and they are, let's say, one-sided, they are not symmetric. You only look, if you look at the definition, you only look at descending slope. That is, if you are, for instance, in modulo of x at the point zero, these values are zeros. But if you are on one minus modulus of x, they are one. I mean, they are descending slopes. And they are the good choice for getting and for selecting the viscosity solution. But this is actually a huge system of equation. The unknown is u on every point of the grid. You have an equation for every point of the grid. It's a huge system of equation. If you can solve it, you find a discrete solution. And if h goes to 0, the discrete solution converges, it is proven, to the true viscosity solution. It is true that it converges, for instance, if xi is continuous and the values that you put on the grid are a certain discretization of the continuous function. OK, what is interesting is that you can solve quite rapidly this system by the fast marching method, which says that actually you don't have, this is a huge system. It has n equations, and n is the number of points of the grid, and the n unknown. Even if it was linear, a huge matrix, it is not linear anyway. It could be, something like n cube for solving it. But this method is the idea that actually you can solve it recursively, starting from x0, passing from neighborhood to neighborhood, in a certain precise order that tend to be properly chosen, with the idea that you only pass from a point to another respecting the order of the solution that you are finding at any step. So the result is a complexity n log n, where the n log n comes from the fact that you have to sort them, to decide at any time which point you are looking for, because you have to choose the one with the smallest value of the solution, and the next step will be good. Unless if you do something else, you can fall into contradiction when you have to calculate other points. But with this order, it works good. So this is the discretization we will use. So the precise discretization, we do like we said yesterday, when you discretize a problem, a good solution is, Oh, they are called the labels of the pixel. If you are at the pixel ij,
so
there
are two coordinates in the
plane. We are in the plane. Sure, we do numerical computation in the plane, not for any n. It's a signal. So the idea is the horizontal gradient is what you get by letting I vary, and the vertical by letting j vary. You have the incremental ratios, but you consider only the descending incremental ratios with respect to this point.
So IJ is the point where you are.
Yeah, yeah. So it is at any point x, you have this equation. So how to discretize the problem? discretize the problem. Then I will look for a solution of the discretized problem. So xi will be something defined on the grid. The integral will become a sum over the grid. And the integral with respect to gamma will become a sum of a couple of points of this quantity that I call, when I write u, a point, a metric, a point, I mean the value of the function, which is the solution of what I wrote before. I usually say the FMM solution, but the solution does not depend on the method used to compute it. We use this method. Anyway, it's the solution of the system of the previous slide. So u will be the solution computed at the point y of the previous system with the condition of vanishing at the point x and with the metric c. So it will be more or less will be the distance from x to y with respect to this metric. And this is our discretization. And this problem is convex. This is convex, and this you can check it is concave. But it is to be checked that it's not difficult. So we want to approach it with a gradient algorithm, with a gradient descent algorithm. And so we have to derive this term with respect to xi. This is easy, but this is a little bit more tricky. So how to derive it? You can see that thanks to the definition, at any point, the value of at the point y depends on the previous value that you have computed. For each point, you have some parents, let's say, the values that you use to compute it. Because the definition was a definition with a maximum with respect to all the neighbors. But actually, this maximum in the horizontal variable, it will be realized by one of the points, and in the vertical by one another. And the point which realizes the maximum is actually the point that you calculated before. I mean, for calculating this point here, I'm probably using this value and this value, and I don't yet know this value. So, if I'm not using this one, it means that these values will be higher and it will not appear in the maximum. So this is a point which comes from two parents. But there is also another possibility. For instance, let us suppose that I have calculated this point and I want to compute this one. This one has one only parent. So there are two possibilities. Either because there was a maximum with one side, the other side, and zero. So either the condition is this one, the sum of the square of the increment is this one, or it is this one. Okay, from this algebraic condition, I can deduce something on the variation. That is, from the first one, if I let xi vary, this varies. I want to find this variation, but these as well, they have varied. They have in the sense that I have already computed the variation. So I can write down the condition. It's something which links the variation at the point y to the variation at the previous points, at the parent points, and the variation of xi as well. And this is easier. So if I have variation with respect to xi, with respect to xi variation, it means that I can compute the gradient. So for any point y, I have a gradient with respect to xi of the quantity u of y. And this means that I can compute recursively the gradient. I start from at x0, the gradient is 0, because I have defined u of x0 is 0. It doesn't depend on xi. And then I go on. This quantity will be vectors, where the number of entries is the number of points of the grid, is the number of coordinates of xi. And this will be a vector. It is the variation of the y component of xi when I let xi vary. It will be a vector with a lot of 0 and then 1, 1 in the y position. And so the advantage is that I use the same parental relation that I used in the fast marching method. So in the end, what I can do is at the same time when I compute the solution, the distance, I also compute the gradient with respect to xi. So the number of iterations is the same, but the problem is that I'm computing a vector whose number of entries is n. So the order is this one. Actually, when y is sufficiently close to its zero, the vector will have a lot of zeros. Because the idea is that the gradient of the geodesic distance from y, from x0 to y, with respect to the metric in the continuous case would be something which is only concerned with the values of the perturbation of xi on the geodesic. What is its corresponding in the discrete case? It's a vector that I compute this way. We can see that it only regards the values at the previous point, so maybe it will be something like that. And actually, you can also see that it is much concentrated on the points which are in a certain sense closer to the geodesic and smaller outside, but it is not something which is concentrated on a single point. So this is our computation for the gradient. It's an exact computation of the gradient. And then we use it in an algorithm. Okay, I said it was a gradient algorithm. Actually, this is a subgradient algorithm. Why? Because it is not differentiable. It is not everywhere differentiable, the function. I cheated when I said that this is the derivative. It only works when you don't have x equal between the two parents. Because I said the maximum is realized by one of the points. If it is not the case, in this point, you don't have actually, you have a function which is defined with a minimum or a maximum. You don't have actually a true gradient. You have a subgradient. But you can define an algorithm, the same as before, this way. It produces an element, the gradient, if possible, and otherwise it produces an element of the subgradient. And then a standard subgradient algorithm is I start from initialization, then I subtract a multiple of an element of the subdifferential. I have to have xi positive, so I cut at zero, and I go on. Under some standard condition on the stepper, okay, there is theories that say that this converges. Why I would converge one? It means that this algorithm converges to the solution of the discretized problem. But we are also interested of the convergence of the discretized problem to the continuous one. And this is a little bit more theoretical. What about the convergence when it is the discretization that gets finer and finer? Okay, we prove the gamma convergence result. This is a typical variational tool. A gamma convergence is a definition of convergence on sequences of minimization problems. And it's a definition that is done on purpose so that if we have gamma convergence, the value of the minima and the minimizers converge. And then we prove the gamma convergence. There are two steps, there are two inequalities to be proven. It's sort of a limit which is to be proven by a Lim-inf inequality and a Lim-sup inequality. For the Lim-inf, it's sort of a generalized semi-continuity. And the main idea is proving that if we have a sequence of, let's say, discrete xi, so it will be, we have xi on a grid, we extend it on the whole domain, by taking it constant on every cell. And if we all embed all the functions that we have in this space, LP star, where P star is the conjugate of P, so that we have some bounds. And so let us suppose we have weak convergence, we take the corresponding discrete solutions. And in the end, we prove that the Lim sup of this, there is a Lim sup instead of Lim inf because there was a minus sign. The Lim sup of this discrete solution is less or equal than the, let's say, continuous solution at the limit. But well, this is the continuous solution of the Econet equation, but we have to pay attention. Xi is not a continuous function in general, it is only LP star. So we have to define precisely what do we mean by geodesic distance with respect to a metric, which is only LP. And so in particular, it is not defined on negligible sets, and in particular, it is not defined on curves. But there are a lot of possible definitions, either from viscosity solution with LP terms, or other definition by approximation, or by continuous function. We can actually get that if this is LP, the idea is that this is LP, U will be W1P. Under condition on P, greater than dimension, you get some uniform continuity bounds, and so you can define a concept for this. This is the Lim-inf inequality. And the Lim-sup is the opposite. Here it's saying for every sequence we have something, here it is, we can build a sequence which is good enough. And in this case it is sufficient to use the standard convergence results for these kind of schemes, which is sufficient. So just a last word about other possible application of the same algorithm, and then I will show you some numerical computation. Because we think that the algorithm computing the gradient, it could be interesting for other applications as well. Here we have two examples. One is what we call military application, but it's just to tell a name to it. It's a problem which was proposed from a theoretical point of view in a paper by Buttazzo, Davini, Fragale, and Massia. What is it? Okay, it means I am at x0, my enemies are located at x1, I have a certain amount of obstacles that I can put on the ground with some constraints, I want to slow them down, so I want to maximize the distance. And this is a problem which falls into the same framework, because this is a concave quantity, but I'm maximizing it, so I can use the subgradient algorithm. And it is quite tricky. They proved something. Here I can also put an infinity bound. If A is zero, the solution is quite easy. The solution in the end is I'm only concentrating C on a ball near x0 and near x1. And you can prove that this is the explicit solution. But if A is not zero, we cannot have an explicit solution. So it would be interesting to have some numerical computation, and we are working on that. This is a generalization. If instead of having two points, you have two measures, and you want to measure the vast time distance. And also this one falls in the same framework, because it is a maximization of an infimum of a concave function. So it is still a concave function. And another way, we talked about this possible application, and then we looked for some references. Let us suppose that we don't know the metric, but we know the distances that are realized on certain pair of points. And then we want to recover the metric. So one possible idea is that I optimize over all possible metrics a least square criterion with the penalization, because here I'm only concerned of on the value of C, or let's say the geodesics. So I have to put a smoothing term so that I can recover everywhere. Another possible penalization term could be, for instance, if I'm looking for the refraction index of a medium, and I already know that there are only two materials which are concerned, one which has xi equals 1 and one which has xi equal to 2. I can put some penalization imposing that xi is 1 or 2, or is close to 1 or 2, something like a double well potential. So in general, this is not a convex problem. So what we can do is using the algorithm, the gradient algorithm, to look for local minima. We're not sure about the convexity or concavity of this term, because there is a term minus dk times 6c. It is minus a concave, it's okay. And the term 6c to the square, it is the square of a concave function. So in general, it is not convex nor concave, but the square of a one homogeneous convex function. So morally, it is a square. So morally, it is convex, but we don't know about it. We're trying to have some calculation. And now I want to show you some pictures and some videos. So I start from the first easiest one. So this is actually the easiest one. We have one source, one destination. We have how the traffic spreads. At the beginning, in the first iteration, we had something on the straight line, but then we start making something better. It converges. And in the end, you can see the traffic is very high near the source and the destination. This is natural because it's atomic. But we also have traffic behind, for instance. And it is spread all over the domain. And it converges. It has converged now, I think. Almost. No. We can go at the end. But it converges very rapidly, you can see. No? You just have to speed it up. And you can see this one, it's nice to be seen. This is the white lines are the geodesic with respect to the final metric, to the equilibrium metric. And they all have the same cost. And there are also geodesic going behind. And the black lines are the iso values of the distance function. And you can say that here it is symmetric. And this is zero, and here it is maximal. This is the simplest case. Let us see some other case. This one, for instance, with more than one source and one destination. Where two with a diagonal traffic. And here it is doing almost it converges a little bit more quicker, because the superposition of the two effects makes the variation being more important at any iteration. And so it is satisfied. The final solution, you have seen it. It has something on the diagonal. It is more strong on the diagonals, as it is reasonable, but it is diffused all over the domain. Let us see some other. We said that all the people here went here, and all the people here went here, and the weights of the two were the same. but we can easily handle all the cases. We prescribe the gamma because it is more the most natural for application. And if you don't prescribe it in a discrete case, it only means that you have to check over all possible gammas, which are anyway the only interesting one will be a finite number, but it would be longer. So another case, I didn't mention it in the talk, but actually we can let the function a depend on x, in the sense that we already imposed that somewhere it is easier or more difficult to pass. So in this case, we put a source and a destination, and the grayscale of the picture is the reference metric if the traffic intensity is constant everywhere. We put some Gaussians here. It is very difficult to pass through here, and we have some difficulties here as well. So maybe the best paths are something like that. And we still have just one source, one destination, so we have one only coupling which is demanded. Let us see them. Okay, here we have to pay attention if we are looking at the final metric or at the traffic intensity, because it is not the same. Usually the metric and traffic intensity, it is something which is related by an increasing function. Here it is an increasing function which depends on the point. So we can look at the traffic intensity, for instance. Okay. So at the beginning, you have nothing where it is not convenient to pass. It is not actually nothing. You are having something, and here, close to the source and close to the destination, you have traffic. But you see it more in zones which are close to the source and destination, but which are not in the Gaussian zone where the traffic is too heavy.
What is the halo around the circle? In other words, is traffic going
here? The traffic is going where here, for instance, you have traffic which is going. You have also traffic which is going this way. The interest is just because this way you avoid traffic on the main street. So there are people going.
The part is hugging the circle.
No, you don't have people who come back. You only have people which does this way and other people who does this way. So this is why you see sort of a circle around the disk. But it's the superposition of two different movements. So there are also people who stay on the north and the south. I just show you some different pictures and then it's okay. This one, for instance, this one is different. This one, we are in a room, for instance, with walls in a supermarket, we can think. And with some sources and destinations, some interesting points. What you can see, there are interesting effects on the corners. On the corner, you have a crowded effect. And the last one, which is nice, and then I can stop. I have other ones to show if somebody's interested. In a sort of labyrinth, in a cavern, so we are almost reproducing the network framework. But you can see something that you could not see in the network framework, the same effect on the corners. Obviously, you only have in some corners, let's say in the concave ones, and you have some parts which are neglected with respect to the others. And we have other simulation, but now the main direction is trying to use the same algorithm on other possible applications, and we are working on that. So I thank you for your attention.